Good morning. We're in this series called Next. Every one of us has a next. We want to make sense out of where we're at and understand what the here and now is about. But then we also want to get ready to move out of the here and into our next. We've had a big idea with this, which is that God has a unique design for each person that he's created, that he loves, a design to bring us into more, bring us into what's next. And for our church, we're praying that same thing. We're in a season where we're praying hard about, Lord, what is our next? Where are you leading us? So here's a theme verse that we've had. I'd like us to all read it together as we jump right in this morning. It's Isaiah 43:19. Let's read it out loud. You know what your outdoor voice is, right? Let's tap into the outdoor voice and let's read this out loud together. Here we go. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Okay, if it's your first time here this morning during this series, just as a recap, he was talking to the people of Israel at this time who had just been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. They're free now and they're headed back to Jerusalem, their home, for their next, right? About a 900-mile journey. And they've got to go through some pretty rough terrain in order to get there, a wasteland to get there. And here's the thing. There's undoubtedly people here this morning who can relate to that. That I feel like I'm in a wasteland. I'm on a journey to my next, but I don't necessarily like having to go through the journey to get me to my next. And so here's the big idea for today. I know as soon as I say it, you're going to go, uh-oh, I know where we're headed this morning. Comfort is always the enemy of our next. So maybe just nestle into your seat. It's going to be a bumpy ride for the next 30 minutes. We're going to get out of our comfort zones. We're going to get ready. God, what are you doing in order to get me into my next? I know it's going to require me getting out of comfort zones and comfortability. How many of you like comfort? If you don't, you're a little weird, okay? Because we like comfort. Comfort is a good thing. We like comfort. What kind of food is this? Comfort food, right? Kind of stuff that just makes you want to take a nap, like move over salads, move over the, just give me chicken or something like that. Comfort foods. How do we sell cars? We exploit the comfort. I have to look at this for a while every time because I'm like, that looks better than my living room. Do you know what I'm saying? My gosh. We like comfort. There's nothing wrong with comfort. How many of you have like a favorite comfort sweater or shirt or something that you... It's your go-to, right? I have one. Marianelle always tries to get rid of it. It's got like a big rip in the back, but it's my shirt, and it knows my body. And most shirts, you know, abhor my body. This one actually loves my body, so I wear this shirt a lot. I've got, I'm in a season of loss right now because Marianelle, my beautiful, lovely wife, took my house slippers and threw them away. Just a few weeks ago, and these things, I have worn these, they smell, I get you, it doesn't matter how many times I wash them, it's just like, and the sole was like half off, that it would flap when I walk, but they just formed, and they were mine, and she went and bought me these other deer form stuff, and I'm like, notice I don't talk about the deer form, how comfortable they are. I have a pillow, I kid you not, every pillow on all the beds in our house is in a kind of a beige white linen, right? Except for mine. My pillow is in blue, which indicates don't touch this blue pillow. This blue pillow is mine. I sleep with it every night. I have it. If I go travel, which I do a lot, I take my pillow with me. It doesn't matter if I'm like flying back to Hawaii. My pillow goes with me. If I go to a hotel down in San Diego, my pillow goes with me. If I'm over at your house for more than 2 hours, no, I'm kidding. I don't really get that. But... There's nothing wrong with comfort, but it doesn't apply only to areas of like clothes and foods. We like known outcomes, don't we? We like guarantees. We like low-risk, high-reward ventures. We like to be comfortable in the things that are in our lives. And again, that's not a bad thing, except when our areas of comfort keep us from following Jesus in what he's calling us to do. So we've had a series story that we've been looking at, and it's the first encounter with Jesus with Peter, Simon Peter. And again, I'll just recap quickly in case you haven't been here. We're not going to read it in its entirety. But Jesus shows up and Peter had just finished fishing and he's cleaning his nets, right? He finishes cleaning his nets and Jesus asks him, would you launch off the shore? Go off the shore in your boat so I can speak in your boat, which helps amplify, you know, my voice to the people listening. So Peter says, okay, and he does it. And then after Jesus is done speaking, he asks Peter, would you launch out into the deep? I want you to launch out into the deep. You're going to catch a great catch of fish. And Peter, with some hesitation, still says, nevertheless, at your word, I will. Okay, so he goes out there. And when he gets out there, you know the story, they have a great catch. It fills their boat. They've got a signal for their partners to come on out. It fills their boat. And then they come back in the shore. Peter has this revelation of who he is. Oh my gosh, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You're the Lord. And he has that. And Jesus says, hey, I've just began here. You've been a fisherman for fish. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And his life changes. Now, what was comfortable for Peter was that after a whole night of fishing and then cleaning the nets, what do you think he probably wanted to do? Go home and sleep, right? That's his sleeping hour. But he was interruptible. Say that word. Interruptible. He was interruptible. So he did it, and he launched out, and he let Jesus teach, and thought, okay, it's not what I had planned, but it's okay, I'm interruptible. But then Jesus says, I want you to go out further, and we're going to fish again. And here, Peter, you know, he is thinking in his brain, I'm the fisherman, it's not the time to do this. Yet he says, nevertheless, at your word. So Peter was not only interruptible, Peter was obedient. He was obedient, and all these steps were preparing him for his next. And then when he gets out into the deep and they catch the fish and they come back in and he has this revelation, he was like, this is the biggest catch that he's ever had. And yet Jesus is calling him to leave that and to follow him. So Peter was willing to be interrupted. He was obedient and he was also willing to follow Jesus into uncharted territory. What was his next? For some of us, that's the biggest obstacle. We look at other obstacles. We think, if only I had this, or if this were different, my job were different, my finances were different. Our biggest obstacle is our fears and our comfort to go into areas that God is calling to. This is why many of us miss our next. So what I want to do this morning is, from this story, is pull out a few lessons and principles about why we can't stay where we are. So if you have your outline, pull that out. Let's write it in for number one. First and foremost, why we can't stay where we are? Because Jesus is in our boat. Jesus is in our boat. How much you, but my Jesus, he's always trying to get me out of me being able to manage things. Constantly calling out to trust. He's got something bigger. He's got a next for us. But we get onto that precipice. Remember, we talked about it last week. It's the edge of yikes. Like, okay, do I go or do I, you know, just stay because I understand this? This is predictable. This is manageable. I can stay here. And Jesus is calling us out. Listen, the question is, will we trust Jesus to lead us? It's a core question in our lives. That he is the one leading and driving the boat. And it really does matter who's leading the boat that you're in, depending on how it makes you feel. When I was a kid, about 6th, 7th, 8th grade, that time, my dad left his career that he had been a part of for many years. He ended up going back to it. But there was this little sliver of, I don't know, it wasn't even a midlife crisis. It was just something he wanted to do. He and a friend went in and bought a boat store. He loves boats, right? And so I'd spend a lot of time at that boat store, walking around, checking out all the boats. Like, we love to ski and fish and do all these things. And one day I was talking with one of the employees of the store. And he was a speed skier. So they would go up to 100 miles an hour and more, skiing behind a boat. You ever been in a boat really fast? You just start to skip. He would do that, and he's holding on. And then he goes, hey, Mark, check this out. And he lifts up his shirt in the back, and there's scars all down his back from when he hit that water. And it's like concrete. I was like, whoa. So now about a month later or so, we're out in Northern California. We are in the Delta, in the Bay Area. And we're out, and we're not in. We had a boat, but we were in our boat that day. And somebody else was driving the boat that I was in. And it was a speedboat. high-performance speedboat. And I'm in there, and I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go fast. And I'm telling him, let's go fast. And it's me and my brothers in there, and the dude driving it said, all right, let's go. And so we get up, and we're at about 50, 60 miles an hour. And I'm like, okay, that's enough right there. Because it's faster than I'd ever been. I'm about 10 years old, right? And then, you know, they're looking at me, and it's all these men, and so they're looking at me, and hey, yeah, I'm fun, and I don't want to be, like, scared. 10-year-old boy, so I'm like, yeah, but I'm freaking out, and then they hit it, and it's going, and I am losing every bodily fluid in me, right, not really, but I feel like I am just petrified, still not wanting them to see my fear. I was sure, and I can remember, I don't remember all things, but I remember, this is it, this is how a 10-year-old boy dies. And for me, the first thing I thought of is skateboards just came out. And this is like, I'm never going to be able to ride my skateboard again. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm dying today. Didn't die, but I was petrified. Now, one other occasion. We're in our boat, our family's boat. And we're going out. We used to go out on the weekends a lot. And occasionally, we would just anchor down on the shore. And we had a little cabin down there, so we'd just all sleep. So I don't know what happened, but in the middle of the night, we got untethered from the shore. A big storm came, and we woke up in the middle of the bay, kind of at the mouth of the ocean, and it was a huge storm, and it was pounding our boat. And we got up, we went to the deck, and Mom and Dad were up there, and they're doing things, and Dad says, boys, get back down in the cabin. Just get back down and shut your door. Don't worry about this. Get down there. And so I went down, and we were there, but we had these little windows in the cabin, so we're looking at it, and it's just, it's crazy, freaky, mega storm that's going on. And here's the thing, though, and this is what I remember. It was epic. It was dangerous that night. It really was. My dad's talked about it since then, gone, I didn't know, man. I was just praying so hard just to get safe. But down there in the cabin, I wasn't afraid at all. I really wasn't. And here's why. Because we were sitting in there, and it was something else. It was one of those moments for me. It was like, whoa, this is wild. But I wasn't afraid because Dad was at the wheel. I kid you not. Mom and Dad were on the deck, and I knew, it's going to be fine. That's Dad. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to be fine. There was never a thought of not being fine. That's makes the difference between who's driving the boat. Whether you are somebody you don't really understand circumstances, or is it Jesus driving the boat? Where we go, okay, it's crazy. I don't really get it all. But I can trust Jesus driving my boat. Why? Because his plans for me are better than my plans for me. And he already sees what's coming next. He's there. He lives in eternity. He knows what's happening. He's not calling me to fix it. He's calling me, trust me. I've got this. And that was the story of Peter. We have our own stories like that. So if Jesus is in your boat, let him lead. Let's look at Matthew 16, 25. Because the key of this really is what? Learning to let go, right? And let God do what he does and us follow. So Jesus said this himself. He said it this way, 16, 25 of the book of Matthew. For whoever wants to save their life will what? Lose it. Now just think about that. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. So the key to really finding yourself is losing yourself in Christ, of making him the lead, that he's got you, that he's leading us and leading me, leading you, leading our church into the next. I don't want to just try to hold on and save my way or do things my way. I want to let go and say, God, do it. And that's the way to really find myself and to merge with God's next for my life. So that's the first one. Here's number two, why I have to leave here. Very simply, because God's plans are bigger than ours. You just settle that. God's plans for you are bigger than your plans for you. That's a pretty crazy thought, but it's true. You're his kid. Peter never knew that he was going to have the catch of his lifetime when he went out following Jesus. Peter didn't know that one day Jesus was going to call him, "You're the rock." I mean, Dwayne Johnson is an imitator. Peter was the rock. He says, you're the rock, and on this kind of faith that you've just confessed, I'm going to build my church. Peter had no idea he was going to be shaped and molded and become a man like that. Jesus' plans for Peter were much bigger than Peter's plans for Peter. He just had to allow God to take the lead. I've watched this play out for years, being in the people business and walking through life with people. I had a friend who, at the time he showed up at our church back at our home, he showed up and he was, he's a plumber, big guy, he was early 30s, had a successful business in a relationship that was very toxic, not out full of just infatuations, and he was messed up. He just left this religion that was, it was a false religion, it was full of shame, control, and manipulation. When he stopped going, they ostracized him. He shows up. He still had a hunger for God, though. So he shows up at our church, but he's kind of ambivalent. Like, I want to hear. I'm interested, but stay away. You know, come close. Stay away. And so he was going through this. I felt like God really put him on my heart to spend some time with him. So I did over the next, you know, number of years, spend some time with him. And he was a mess. He had a serious alcohol problem mixed with drugs that he needed. So that was a bad cocktail. And it put him in suicide watch in hospitals a couple times. I remember having to bail him out of jail in the middle of the night, go down and get him. But there was something about him that he wanted something more. And so I watched him begin to latch onto Jesus, not church, not just a religion. He latched onto Jesus. And slowly it began to transform him. And this guy who couldn't keep it together for a few days, all of a sudden just became one of the most constant people in my life. A friend to me, a friend in ministry, just doing more and more, taking those next steps. Today, I talk with him, you know, all the time. Today he's pastoring a congregation of about a couple hundred people there on Kauai, ministering to them, loving them, beautiful wife, doing Jesus stuff. Because Jesus had plans for Jason that Jason wasn't even aware of. He just wanted to be whatever normal is. Jesus said, I got way more for you, my boy. Some people think that when we do that, take that step and say, I'm going to take the next. I'm going to really give it all. I'm going to let Jesus do it. If you're like me at all, when I first started contemplating that, I thought, if I do it, I know I'm going to have to move to some village in Africa and be a missionary there. Not that that's bad, but it just wasn't what I was thinking. And I just knew if I give him my heart, he's going to take that. He's going to do my plans, and I'm going to be poor for the rest of my life and doing this. And so I'd rather use God to bless the things that I wanted to do instead of me just surrendering, right? God may not ever call you to full-time ministry. That's probably not going to happen. But he's going to call you to your next. I had another guy at that same church who came. He owned a couple restaurants. He was also one of our council members for the county of Kauai. And he came and he wanted to meet me. And I found out later the only reason he really wanted to meet me in the beginning is because there was a gal in our Bible college that he wanted to meet. It's always about a woman. It's always so. He does meet me and we're talking. And anyways, he ends up joining our Bible college. Just takes a couple classes. And this dude who was not, he was just a businessman, good guy, but just a businessman, building his kingdom, doing his thing. God started to open up his heart. And I began to talk to him. Hey, Jimmy, you know, God's got more for you. And it doesn't mean that you have to plant a church or anything. He's got more for you right where you're at. And he just began to ask God that. Lord, use me where I'm at, a council member. Use me where I'm at in my restaurant to do something good. Fast forward a few years later, he became the House representative for the state, for Kauai. He was the House representative. And so now his level of influence just gained more. And we'd talk and we'd talk and pray on the phone. And he'd ask me about, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm like, yeah, this is what I think. And we'd pray and give him verses. And he would always be, what does God want me to do? What does God want? What's my next? And he did it. He did it in his venue. He got affordable housing on Kauai for hundreds of people, restored Hawaiian homelands, got closed caption in the theaters, mandated on all the theaters over the state so that the deaf and hearing impaired could participate. He continued to do event after event, being fueled by what does God have for me next? That's what God wants to do in our lives. Each one of us, he has a next for. And we don't know, because our next is not about trying to, you know, place you this over here and now you're here and it's placed that. It's not about that. It's about a shift in our hearts. So both Jason, who became a pastor, and Jimmy, they said yes to God's leadership and not just pursuing their own desires. They said yes to the kingdom of God and not just to the kingdom of self. And they went on to bigger things. And by bigger, I don't mean just they accumulated more stuff. Bigger in terms of significance. They mattered. And really, isn't that what we want at the end of the day? In the end of our lives, is to know that we were here and it mattered that we were here. He increased our level of significance. So this is how Paul said this, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He said, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. So stay open to God's dreams for you. They're big. They may not be your dreams, but God has dreams for you that are bigger and better. Now, our final reason why we can't stay where we are. Write this down. Because the kingdom of God is always moving. The kingdom of God is always moving. You think back to our story. Peter had just caught all these fish. He goes out. He was interruptible. He was able to have his plans interrupted. He was obedient. He went out there, comes back on the shore, got all these fish, the catch of a lifetime. And it was sitting right there. And you know what Peter was thinking? Fish taco stands all over Judea. This is insane. Opportunity. Are you kidding me with Jesus providing like this and me doing this? Woo! Stay right here. Jesus, hang out. Bless what's going on. How many of us kind of treat God that way a little bit? Like, hey, God, I got this idea. Bless it, Lord. Right? God's like, all right, that's cool. You know, I get it. But I have something for you too. Will you trust me and move out? Because the kingdom of God is always moving forward. It's moving. It's advancing. And that's why we understand the kingdom of God. I just want to be clear on that. You may not understand what that is. How many of you came from a Catholic background and you know like the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer? How does it go? Our Father who? Hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and heaven. Right, see? So what he was teaching them to pray is, pray the kingdom of heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How's it done in heaven? It's unencumbered. It's done. His will's done. Nothing's stopping it. They're praying, Lord, we want to be a part of your kingdom advancement here on earth, and we want to go like it's going in heaven. And a lot of times we think what stops the kingdom of God, I think our legislature and immorality in our government and injustice over here, and my boss stops me, and this relationship. No, what stops us are two primary things. One, fear, and our unwillingness to get out of our comfort zones and trust Jesus with the leading. And that's what Jesus is wanting to do. This shift happened in Peter. And it wasn't just about a placement shift again. It was about a shift in his heart. His compass changed, where it became no longer about the kingdom of Peter and what Peter wanted Jesus to do for him. But it became entirely centered on where are you leading me to? I may not see how it's all going to work out, but I'll take my next with you. And then that'll move me to this next, and that'll move me to this next. And all of a sudden, I look back 5 years later and go, oh, my whole life radically changed. I would have never been in this relationship. I would have never been in this network. I would have never been doing what God has called me to do if I hadn't taken that first next step. This is what God is calling to do. Look at the words of Jesus, because this is how he says it. John chapter 5, verse 17, my Father is always working, and so am I. This guy is always working. You know who he said this to? Because it says he replied. He said this to a group of religious leaders called Pharisees. And they were ticked off because Jesus had healed somebody, and it happened to be on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a part of an old covenant, and there was a day that was supposed to be a day of rest and a day of honoring God. And these guys were ticked off that Jesus healed a guy on the Sabbath. Not they missed the fact that somebody was healed. They were ticked off because he healed them on this day, right? Are you crazy? That's how crazy religion is. If you're wondering why people are walking behind me right now, it's because I secretly invited them up. We're going to close the service in just a second. The Pharisees were trying to do what so many of us try to do, and that's put God in a box. And say, here's how I'm comfortable with God. Like this. You know, he can be this and this. And I include him in these areas and this, and he's able to do this, but not this. And God, you can try, but you can't put God in. You'd sooner tame the tide. He's God. He will bust out of any box that we put him into. And you have thoughts for your own life. And you want God to walk with you. I'm sure you do. You want to be with him. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here this morning. But God says, hold on. Let me show you how much bigger I am than your dreams right now. Just trust me in it. And it doesn't mean you have to make some radical move today. What it does is it means you make a move in the shift of your heart saying, okay, I can be interrupted. I'm ready to be obedient and follow your leading. Lord, just into my next. I'm going to ask the band to share a song. We introduced this song last week. And this week, I'd like you just to sit and think about that. Here's a couple questions I want you to think about as the band is playing this morning. Number one is Jesus even in your boat? Is he in your boat? And if so, are you letting him lead? Or are we still driving that thing? So just think about this. The other one is, when was the last time you were reminded? Did you need to be reminded this morning that God's plans for you are bigger than yours? And pray about that and think about that just as we enjoy the song of worship this morning. Then we'll come back up and close.